From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, June 8th. I'm Abby Larico. U.S. rivers used to be so polluted that lots of fish couldn't even live in them. Then, in the 1970s, federal laws took the problem to task.
Oh, there's all these species that have come back.
But even as fish and wildlife rebound in many rivers, other problems loom. That story's coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis Public School officials have temporarily closed the district's downtown headquarters after testing found Legionella bacteria in the cooling and water systems. SLPS Communications Director Charles Poole says officials learned of the bacteria Thursday evening.
We immediately jumped on it and started figuring out what our movement would be at that point.
Poole says more tests will determine how long the building will be closed. Legionella can proliferate in air conditioning systems. It can cause pneumonia and is particularly dangerous for older individuals or those with chronic health issues. The mayor of Festus and three city council members want to stop a question from being placed on the November ballot asking voters whether to recall them from office. They filed suit on Friday against Jefferson County Clerk Jeannie Goff. She certified petitions to recall Mayor Sam Richards, as well as Councilman Mike Cook, David Boyer, and Kevin Dennis. All four officials had voted in favor of putting a hyperscale data center in the area. Residents who disagreed with that decision circulated the petitions. Among other things, the lawsuit states that the petitions were not specific enough in describing what the elected officials did to merit a recall vote, and the language didn't make it clear what residents were advocating for. The suit also states petitioners didn't gather enough signatures. They had to get a quarter of all voters in the city to sign in order to place the recall question on the ballot. The plaintiffs say the county clerk used April voter registration numbers instead of May when more people signed up to vote. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is pausing state tax breaks for new data centers. Isabella Nieto reports.
Illinois offers state and local tax exemptions and a wage tax credit for owners of a data center, but Pritzker says his administration will stop new deals starting July 1st. He says the pause stems from a, quote, responsibility to protect working families and local communities as the data center industry rapidly expands. Pritzker wants state lawmakers to work with advocates, unions, and local governments on a new framework for keeping data centers in check. That means mitigating the strain on local power grids and water resources and making sure data centers pay their fair share in water and utility bills. The tax incentive program, started by Pritzker in 2019, has awarded nearly $1 billion in credits to data centers. I'm Isabella Nieto.
Belleville's Skyview Drive-In Movie Theater is for sale after almost 80 years of being owned and operated by the same family. Jerry Davidson from Prestige Realty Group said in a Facebook post that the drive-in will not be shutting down. Instead, the owner is looking for someone to, quote, carry the legacy forward. Steve Bloomer has owned and operated Skyview since 2010. His family has operated the drive-in since it opened in 1949. He could not immediately be reached for comment. East St. Louis hopes to break ground this month on a solar farm to help residents save money on their electric bills. As St. Louis Public Radio's Rebecca Thiel reports, the project will be built on an otherwise unusable hazardous waste site.
East St. Louis proposed the project about 20 years ago, during Robert Vett's first term as city manager. It took that long to clean up the site on the polluted land once owned by aluminum company Alcoa.
What can we do to pass some savings on to the citizens, which are low income and struggling to make these monthly utility payments? So that's what really drove me to make sure that we start this project back up.
Bett says the community solar farm will supply free energy to about 2,000 low-income residents for a $50 yearly subscription fee. Another 1,000 residents can expect to save up to half off their bills. Any leftover energy would go to power city buildings and possibly new businesses. I'm Rebecca Thiel, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois will soon be without an NFL team. After more than 5 years of debates, proposals, and statements, the Chicago Bears say they are officially proceeding with plans to cross state lines and build a stadium in Indiana. The announcement comes just days after the Illinois State House failed to pass any legislation before the end of their annual session that would have enticed the Bears to stay in Illinois and potentially build a stadium in Arlington Heights. Indiana lawmakers had passed a team-friendly deal earlier this year authorizing a stadium authority backed by taxes and allowing the Bears to keep all revenue generated by the stadium. The exact site in Hammond, Indiana, is still to be selected. It's unclear now what the team plans to do with the land they purchased in Arlington Heights. Saturday's Bosnia and Herzegovina soccer game against Panama wasn't a regular match. For many, it was a cultural celebration. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, the match ended in a 1-1 tie days before the start of the FIFA World Cup.
The St. Louis area has the largest Bosnian population outside of Bosnia, and many like Harissa Chow spent the afternoon celebrating.
This is the best day of my life, and everyone else here, I can speak for everybody.
Many Bosnian fans donned blue, yellow, and white representing the flag. And Panama was also represented. A large group walked into the stadium playing drums and sharing celebratory chants. Julia Belis is half Panamanian.
So it's my first time watching our national team play. And it's also in a city like St. Louis that's so historic with like the Bosnian population as well. I think it'll be a great match.
Bosnia and Herzegovina plays Canada Friday. Panama plays against Ghana June 17th. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
And one more sports story, this one putting the aw in caw. The Battle Hawks just couldn't beat their playoffs bad luck streak, ending the season with a 29-20 loss to the Louisville Kings in the semifinals at the Dome on Sunday. In the U.S., industries and cities used to pollute rivers so heavily that at least one, in Ohio, caught fire a dozen times. But half a century ago, a series of landmark federal laws started reining in water pollution. As a result, some rivers across the country are bouncing back to life. Harvest Public Media's Celia Yopis-Jepson reports.
The Spring River starts in the Missouri Ozarks, cuts through Kansas, and flows into Oklahoma's Grand Lake. It's in a region called the Tri-State Mining District, once a major producer of lead and zinc. The mines eventually fizzled out, but the pollution remained. Millions of cubic yards of toxic waste and abandoned mines.
Like after a rainstorm, it'll hit the chat piles or it'll hit these underground mine shafts and just dissolve that stuff and wash it into the nearest creek or river.
James Whitney, a biologist at Pittsburgh State University in Kansas, is standing in the Spring River.
The fish community was greatly reduced. There was basically no mussels at all down there.
Mussels matter because they feed many other animals and create coral reef-like habitats. And in the stretches of this river that were hit hardest, they were gone. Then the 1970s and 80s brought a series of landmark bipartisan federal laws. The Clean Water Act, mining regulations, the Superfund law for major environmental cleanups. For the Spring River, all this meant plugging mine shafts and dealing with waste piles.
Because of that, all those cleanup efforts, all that money spent at these EPA Superfund sites, there's less and less metals running off into the river every time it rains.
Mussels are rebounding. So are some species of fish. Similar stories played out in other rivers across the country after the 70s and 80s laws slapped regulations on factory outflows and city sewage. Water got cleaner in many places. Habitat restoration also helped. In Chicago, fish populations are recovering big time.
Oh, there's all these species that have come back.
Austin Happel is a research biologist at Chicago's Shedd Aquarium. In Chicago waterways, certain manufacturing chemicals, fecal bacteria, and ammonia have all decreased.
At a survey at one site in the 80s, they might have found three species. But now at that same site doing the same survey, 30 years later, they find 15 or 20 species.
In Texas, the Trinity River downstream of Dallas-Fort Worth also saw progress. In Indiana, the West Fork White River did too. And that's great news, says Scott Black, executive director of the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. But it comes with caveats.
We've improved, but we haven't gotten to where we really should be.
A 2022 study found fewer than half of U.S. streams in good condition based on fish and invertebrate populations. And Black says current federal laws have their limits. For example, the Clean Water Act does not regulate chemical use on farms.
Things like phosphorus and nitrogen that really mess up rivers, as well as, you know, pesticides, including insecticides that kill insects.
These get into rivers and cost utilities big bucks for drinking water treatment. They flow into the Gulf, too, causing a dead zone off the coast of Louisiana where fish can't survive. Meanwhile, Black sees a risk that federal oversight of the country's water pollution laws could backslide.
My worry is they're just less staff across the board.
The Environmental Protection Agency has lost about a quarter of its employees since Trump took office the second time. But the EPA's press office says the agency has the staff it needs and is focused on the Clean Water Act and Superfund efforts. Back in Kansas, Whitney says an improving spring river benefits not just wildlife, but people, too. Toxic metals are bad for our health and our fun.
Swimming, fishing in a nice, clean river is a lot more fun than doing it in a river filled with metals. Like if you wanted to go fishing and eat your fish, you can't do it if it's filled with metals.
Plus, with pollution like that, there wouldn't be many fish to catch. I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.